Well, thank you. To buy that moment, God is good. And all the time. That wasn't long enough. We need to come up with something else. All right. So my name is Matthew. I grew up in this church. I was dedicated here as a child. My mom is here today to support me. I'm very happy that she's here with us. I've grown up with numbers of you, and I've had quite a journey, even though I'm only, 27. But I was honored that Pastor Rich asked me to speak. I work a lot with the youth, and Rich has been helping us out with the youth, and he was there one night when I spoke, and then he said, I want you to speak on one of the days when I'm not going to be here. And here we are, because I guess Rich gets what he wants. So, for those of you that don't know me, I'm a clinical pharmacist. I work for Kaiser Permanente in Santa Teresa, and I work with a team of about 40 other pharmacists doing a variety of clinical work. And we had a staff kind of celebration barbecue at the beach in Santa Cruz a couple of months ago. And this was after Rich had asked me to speak. And he said, I don't know what you're going to talk about. Do you know what you want to talk about? And I said, no. I could take something that I spoke to the youth about, but I'd rather come up with something, new. And so it was on this trip, coming back from this barbecue, that I saw this sign. And something inside of me just broke. I felt just this call, like, this is something that we need to address. And my heart was like flipping over, and I turned to my wife. I'm driving, and I turned to her. I'm like, did you see that sign? She's like, yeah. I'm like, something tells me that that's what I'm supposed to talk about. She's like, well, let's go take a picture of it. I'm like, no, we passed it now. She's like, no, you're going to go take a picture of that sign. So you have my wife to thank for this picture. But it struck me looking at this sign that this points to not only one of our greatest downfalls of our society, but something that continuously causes problems for followers of Christ. Because we seem to naturally fall prey into one of two ideas related to this issue of time. Either A, we believe that we have an unlimited amount of time in which to do God's work, or B, that there isn't enough time in which to do God's work. And either way, we fall into this trap of focusing on the future, either what we might do in the future or what we need to do for the future. And whether we put it off for tomorrow or toil relentlessly for tomorrow, we miss out on what God is trying to do today. Today, right now. Now, it would seem strange to me that God would put this subject on my heart to talk about, because essentially what we're talking about is time management. And if you've ever worked with me, if you know anything about me, then you would know that my time management skills are practically non-existent. And I learned this over the past year at work. But of course, as God is known to do, he chooses to have somebody for whom this is their weakness talk about it. So as we talk today, know that in no way am I a master of using my time efficiently, but it is what God calls us to do. So let's start with the first pitfall of this future thinking, which is my own personal struggle in work and in my Christian life. And the lie is that we think we have an unlimited amount of time. Now, at work, I said I'm a clinical pharmacist. That's different from a regular pharmacist because I completed a residency. A residency is an extra year of training and work and rotating and doing all these projects. Well, I knew that I had a finite amount of time. I had 1 year in which to get all of this done, and they gave it to me at the beginning. I said, this is what you're going to do, and we have a schedule for you, and it's up to you to fill in everything that you need done. And that didn't turn out so good. I really struggled, especially in the first half of the year, with getting done what I needed to do. I had never had to manage that many projects. I had never had to balance all these things. And I found that I couldn't take care of it. And it made me realize that as I got to about the 6-month mark, I didn't have an unlimited amount of time. In fact, the truth is that time is running out. And it's running out for all of us. See, every person in here is going to die. It's highly unlikely that any of us are going to pull an Enoch or an Elijah and leave this earth without dying. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, none of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. The only person who has that power is Christ. And if he chooses to leave us here until the end, well, the end conclusion is inevitable. We are going to die at some point. We have a finite end of time. The question is not if, but rather when. And the Lord knows our days are numbered, and he alone knows that number. I don't know yours, you don't know mine, but what I do know is that today, our number is one less than it was yesterday. And it's ticking down. Okay. Your departure time will not be delayed. Your gate will not be changed. Your baggage left behind. You're getting out of here, whether it's your time or when it's your time, and nothing can stop it. Matthew 6:27 says, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And of course we look at this and go, no, of course not. But we live like we can add on time at the end. And so what happens when we recognize that we only have a small amount of time in which to take care of our business? Well, like it happened for me in my residency, I'm like, okay, well, I have, you know, 2 months left, 1 month left to get all of this done. We develop this sense of urgency. And this urgency is something that Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans. He says, this is all the more urgent. He even uses the word for me. Thank you, Paul. For you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul understood. The end is coming, just one day at a time, and eventually we're going to hit this end point. Now here, Paul is talking about the second coming of Christ, which at the time they believed was going to occur shortly after the first coming. Okay? But whether or not Christ comes in our lifetime, time is indeed running out. It will end at some point. Okay? Our time on earth is short-lived. We're described in the Bible as a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. The psalmist wrote that our lives come to an end like a dream, that we're tender grass that sprouts in the morning and dries up by evening. We don't have unlimited time. And since I've started speaking today in the world, I would say, once I get to another 10 seconds, 750 people since I've started talking have died on this planet. 750 people have departed for their eternal destination. Just because we have an eternity promise doesn't mean that we can move at an infinitely slow pace. Because here and now, our time is short. We can't get caught in the someday, in looking for, I'll take care of that someday, lest we miss out on what God is doing this day. Now this brings us to the second lie. The second lie is that we think there isn't enough time to take care of everything we need to do. So I finished my residency, the new residents have come in, and they are very different. One of them is an extreme overachiever. She was a president of her class, first in her class. She speaks 4 languages fluently. She founded a nonprofit while she was going through pharmacy school. She's amazing, right? But she crams everything that she can possibly do into one day. We gave her the list of, here's all the same stuff that you're going to have to do, the same things that I did. Okay, you have a year that you're going to need to do this. And she just goes to town trying to work and get all these things out of the way. She tries to line everything up and get it done in the first week of a year's worth of work. And what they found, they had to sit her down and talk to her because she was doing 18-hour days in the first week of the residency, which is ridiculous. Okay. And I talked to her and I said, what are you doing? I'm like, none of the other residents have tried doing this. And she said, well, I got to get all of it done. I'm going to run out of time. And what happened was she was focusing so much on getting this list of things done that we gave her that she entirely missed out on the actual learning she was supposed to do in her rotations. She was completely missing how to effectively treat diabetes. Just totally missed it. Even though she's working with diabetic patients 8 hours a day, she's just struggling with that because she's focusing on getting everything done for the future rather than what was happening right there. The truth is that ample time is provided. Now this, some of you might be scratching your head. This might seem to stand in opposition to the first point that time is running out, but roll with me on this one, okay? First thing that we know that God has prepared work for us to do. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are Christ's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has a plan. He has a to-do list of work that he intends for us to get done. Okay? It's already there. Second, we see that God provided us and continues to provide us with all of the resources that we need. In Matthew 6:28-30, he says, "And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed as beautifully as they are." And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and then thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now here, Christ says not to worry about what's coming, not to focus on what we're going to eat, what we're going to be wearing. But it's more than that. It's more than just the basic resources that we need to survive. God is telling us that he will provide all that we need, not only just to live, but to succeed and to thrive. All of the resources, of which I would argue time is a resource. I found that out the hard way. On top of this, knowing that God has provided all these resources, we know that God has a plan for us, right? The work that he created, appointments that he set up, okay, a mission that he designed from the ground up. Wouldn't it make sense, then, that he would provide everything that we need to be successful, including the time that it would take to get his work done? And this made me think about my brother. My brother was in the Marines, and it got me thinking about, you know, if you were to send out Marines or Army or anybody out into combat, you send them out prepared. Matt, how much would you estimate that all of your gear weighed when you had it on?
80 pounds.
About 80 pounds. 80 pounds of gear. Did you feel prepared? Okay, so you have, you know, not just, you know, your actual clothing, but you have your vest, your harness, with everything you could possibly need on it. Now imagine if we then, you know, take the Army and we equip them with everything that they need. Let's imagine that. And we send them out, but we say, okay, by the way, you guys have 20 seconds to occupy the entire country. And go. Okay, would that be an adequate amount of time? No, okay? And if we, as humans, can understand that it takes time to get work done, I would argue that I think God understands how much time it takes to get his own work done as well. So, as Pastor Rich said, I would make a faith statement, I loved it, that God would not give us work to do that could not be completed in the time that we have. I'll say that another way. Everything that God wants you to do, everything that he has booked into your schedule to get done, everything that is in his plan is already in the calendar. It already has the time assigned. And if we would just look at his planner and see, what is it that you're trying to do with me today? If we would follow his guide, The time is there. We don't have to get everything done today. It's not going to happen. But we also can't put it off for forever. So if we know that we don't have that unlimited amount of time, and we believe that God wouldn't give us work that couldn't be completed because the time is too short, what must be the conclusion? Well, the conclusion is ample time is provided. The time we need is there. And in this time, God calls us not to live the lazy life, not to live the overcrammed, overstuffed life. I would say that God calls us to live an abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus himself says, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And now, abundant life is not a busy life. We don't fill our schedule for the sake of having stuff to do, okay? We make use of the time that we have, and God will provide the works to be done in the time that we have. So where is the abundant life? I would say abundant life is in the here and the now. Abundant life is acknowledging the gifts and the responsibilities and the opportunities that God has given us to do today. Even Jesus, at the end of his ministry, recognizes the opportunities that he has. We see in several different accounts in the gospel what goes on at the Last Supper. And Christ there knows what's coming. He knows he's about to be betrayed. He knows he's about to be tortured. He knows he's about to be crucified. Still, at the Last Supper, we see him not only take his time to teach the disciples, to give them stories, to give them new parables, to give them more knowledge. He takes time to teach them about servanthood and washes their feet. But even above that, Jesus sits with them and shares a meal. He breaks bread and gives thanks for the time that he has right there. Knowing what's about to happen, knowing he's about to die, he still focuses on, "I am not done. I still have work to do." And he used that time that he had to impact the disciples. And we are called to emulate Christ. And therefore, we are called to emulate Christ's abundant life. God wants us to partner with him in the work and the joy and the blessings of the present, the same way that Christ partnered with God. Now, Christ had that connection, but we are offered that same connection through the Holy Spirit. We are told that if we will just pray, we can talk, we can have conversations with Christ. Are you going to hear voices? Not necessarily, but you might see a sign on the side of the road that tells you, "This is what I want you to talk about." We get to be partners with God in what he's doing today. And then, I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says," and now here Paul is quoting from Isaiah, he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you." Paul goes on and says, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation." We are called to be co-workers and partners in Christ, and we cannot miss this calling. Now, after I saw that sign, something, like I said, inside tore, and I was like, "Oh, that's it." But then, I'm sure some of you have experienced, you have this passion, something ignites, and then like 2 days go on, and you, well, whatever. Maybe that wasn't really what you wanted me to talk about. I mean, I have a picture of a sign. It's not really tearing my heart in half anymore. And driving to work 2 days later, and I hear on the radio, Luis Palau comes on, and he does these little 15-second like snippets where he'll talk about something, and I love Luis Palau. And one of the things that he talked about was this. was living in the present. And he quoted from a book called The Screwtape Letters. The Screwtape Letters is a book, it's a series of letters written by a demon or a devil who's of the old school. He's been around for a while. He knows what's going on. He knows how to effectively ruin somebody's life. And all of these letters are from his perspective of how to ruin a human. And he writes these letters to his younger nephew, trying to teach him the ways. Here's what you got to do. If you want to ruin your guy, this is what you do. Okay? And in one of these letters, he talks about focusing the humans on the future. And I loved it. And this, when I heard this on the radio, I heard Luis Palomet say it, and I was like, all right, I get it. That's it. It's fine. I understand. I'm not going to question it again. So I'll start working, like making notes. Like, yeah, I better do this, or God's going to have to keep sending me reminders. The quote says this, and again, from the point of view of the devil, it says, "Our business is to get them away from the eternal and away from the present. We want a man hag-ridden by the future, haunted by visions of an imminent heaven or hell upon earth, focusing on earth, okay, on what's happening, what's about to happen now. We want a whole race perpetually in pursuit of the rainbow's end, never honest, nor kind, nor happy now, but always using every real gift which is offered them in the present as mere fuel to burn on the altar of the future. This is what Satan wants to do to us. And if we focus everything on the future, either waiting for something to happen or trying to line everything up and make it work our way, we miss out on what's happening right now. I have a hard time seeing what's going on right now. I'll just admit that. And it can be challenging to truly know where it is God wants to take us, to take me, to take our church. But there's really only one way to figure out what God's will is, and that's to have regular conversation with him. And so what I would challenge this week is every day when you get up, I challenge you would just pray, God, show me what you have in the schedule for today. I have things I need to get done. I'm going to trust that you've given me time to do them. I'm going to make use of the time that I have, but show me what you are doing today, and let me partner with you. Okay? We are given this gift of the present, and we can either choose to open the gift and make use of it, or we can throw it on the fire of the future. Today is the day. Now is the time. And if you're waiting for tomorrow, it may not come. And if you've overloaded today's schedule such that you have post-it notes and stickies coming out of your planner, tear everything out and make some space for God in there. He cannot be relegated just to the margins of the calendar, nor can he be held back by our procrastination. Christ promises us an overflowing, abundant life if we would choose to live it today. And I challenge you, choose to live it today and see what God is doing around you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have promised us an abundant life. You have plans that are so much greater for us than anything we could imagine, anything we could toil for, try to put together for our own lives. We pray that we would be open and aware and partner with you in the things that you're doing in our lives, in our church's lives, in our community, and in our world. You have dreams bigger than anything that we can put together. And we should not doubt what it is that you are doing. So God, I pray this week that you would help us to live our lives knowing and seeking what it is that you are trying to accomplish each day. And God, may you just stir in us the passion to partner with you in what you're already doing. We pray this in your name.